Welcome to our Good Friday service this evening. It's a unique service that we've done for a number of years now. And the service that we conduct, it's not only unique, it's a little bit threatening. And I say that because it's filled with silence. And I think for many of us, if not most of us, silence is threatening. We'll certainly see that it's threatening in the narrative that we're about to read and of this passion story and all of the characters within it. They seem threatened by the silence that Jesus creates. And so that you understand what we're about to do, let me walk you through this narrative very briefly and point out to you not only the silence that fills this narrative, but also the part that you will play. And so take your liturgy bulletin and turn to page 8. There you'll see Jesus asking the disciples to pray, and two different times he comes back to them, and they're silent, not because they're silent in prayer, but they're asleep. And then across the page on page 9, Jesus is arrested, just as he foretold, all of the disciples flee. Each and every one of them abandon him, and he is left all alone, silent with all of his accusers. And this silence continues. And then on page 11, you'll see him before the unofficial Jewish trial, being accused of things that were both true and untrue, and he's silent. And then on page 14, a couple of pages over, you'll see him before Pilate, the official Roman trial, and once again, he is silent. And then on pages 15 and 16, all of our part is found. And our part is to fill the empty, silent space that Jesus leaves with words. In fact, that's what happens throughout this narrative. Time and time again, Jesus is silent and other people fill the space that he leaves. Jesus doesn't act, and people instead act when he does not. For example, when he is arrested, Jesus doesn't respond. But Peter takes out a sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant because he was aiming for the head of the high priest. And Jesus condemns this action as wrong and as unfaithful. And then at both trials, as I've told you, he is silent before these accusers. And these accusers speak and they speak and they speak. And they bring other witnesses to say things about him, things that are untrue. And then finally, here on page 16, our words begin. And they're not untrue words as much as they are violent words. We take upon ourselves the words of the crowd, the voices of the crowds, and they call for a man named Barabbas to be released. Barabbas in Aramaic literally means son of the father. He was a murderer, he was an insurrectionist, and we take their voices upon our own lips to call for Jesus to take his place. And in calling for Jesus to take Barabbas's place, we're calling for Jesus to take all of our places. And we'll cry out for Jesus to be crucified and for his blood to be upon us because we fill the silence that he leaves with our words. Again, because I think silence is threatening to us. But why isn't it threatening to Jesus? He seems unthreatened by all of the silence that happens through us. But why are we threatened? Why are we so threatened by silence that we seem to fill it with whatever we can, with whatever busyness and with whatever technology will avail to us? We try to fill the silence of not just this narrative, but all of our lives. But how can Jesus be silent on Good Friday as we find him in this narrative? How can he not defend himself? How can he not say anything in the face of all of these accusations? I think the answer to that is that because on this night and in this narrative, as in all of his life, he was continually entrusting himself to his Heavenly Father. He was continually giving himself over to his Heavenly Father, and so he was unthreatened by inactivity. He was unthreatened by his silence. Whereas we don't want to do that. We don't want to be those who have to entrust ourselves to anyone, God himself even. We don't want to trust that God will take care of the words that people say about us, and so we speak. We don't trust that we can not act in order for our lives to not fling and be flung out of control. So we want to act. We want to be the ones that determine and control and rule our lives, and so we speak, and so we act. And in all of this activity and all of this speaking, we're implicitly praying the very opposite prayer that Jesus prayed. He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's what he prays even in his silence. But in our activity and in our words, we're praying, "Not your will, not your will, but my will be done." Continually asserting our own will. But friends, this service, it is designed to flip that prayer. Because Jesus, God the Son, he entrusted himself to his Heavenly Father. And his Heavenly Father silenced him completely for us. He died the death that we all deserve. That is why we are here this evening. That's why we speak of Good Friday as good. Because somehow on this day in human history, the eternal communion between God the Father and God the Son was lost. God the Father silenced him in death so that we might actually begin to pray. And then we might actually begin to pray these words of Psalm 51, which I've printed for you. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." In other words, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins because of Jesus' death. Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In other words, change me. Change that which needs to be changed in me. Change me from the inside out. Verse 11, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." In other words, don't give me what I do deserve. May what you did to Jesus on this night count for me. Don't give me what I do deserve. Be gracious to me. And finally, verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." Give me the joy of knowing that there is nothing that I have to say, that there is nothing that I have had to do or have to do in order to be loved and accepted and delighted in by you because of what Jesus has done. In other words, pour out your grace upon me. Pour out your grace upon me so that I might actually be silent before you but not feel threatened. Friends, silence requires faith. It requires courage even. It requires faith and courage to sit in silence and to be willing to listen to God reveal what sins of yours that Jesus died to blot out. But not just your sins, but also all of your injuries, all of the wrongs that have been done to you by others, and to hear him speak to you, to speak to your heart and say, "I came, I died, I was raised again so that I might take those wrongs and those injuries away from you and heal them, that I might heal you. And here's what I need to heal. And here's how I still need to change you." It takes courage and faith to be silent and to listen for that. So thanks be to God that the divine love that we see and experience on Good Friday compels courage and it creates faith. That's why we're here. Again, that's why it's good. And so let me encourage you to act in faith right now, to exercise faith even right now in this moment, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask us to observe a moment of silence as we begin. A moment of silence before I pray this prayer that's printed on page 6. And during that moment, I want you to do several things. Number one, I want you to be still as possible. Little ones, I know it is difficult. To be still, to be silent even, and to listen to what God would speak to your heart through his word as you gather among God's people on Good Friday. And then in the midst of that silence, have the courage to pray these words of Psalm 51. Silently, at some point, have the courage to pray these words, or even to pray the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. Pray them for yourself. Not my will, but your will be done in me. So let's take a moment of silence right now. Almighty God, we pray that you graciously behold this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hand of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, but who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.